Te presentamos a Alex. Ella acaba de descubrir el centro de visión de Walmart.
Ahora hago mis diligencias en un solo lugar.
¿Compras? ¿Lentes?
Walmart.
¿Decoraciones?
Walmart. Y lo mejor es que aceptan la mayoría de seguros, así que ahorro tiempo y dinero.
Bienvenido a un cuidado de visión más fácil. Bienvenido a tu Walmart. Se aplican restricciones. Visita walmart.com para más detalles.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Yeah, the Germans did too. Let's talk about this game. We try to be really guest friendly, and I love that the guests brought some gifts. Stefan, I put this in my match report, and as brilliant as this Germany team were, they also faced a team that offered almost no resistance from the start. And I think that is something that we need to really contextualize the start by Germany. I think this had the potential to be a huge banana skin. These are the teams that Germany has always traditionally struggled with over this last few years, right? Whether it was the Joachim Löw era, the brief Hansi Flick era, or even the start of the Julian Nagelsmann era, although he seems to be ironing out these kinks against smaller opposition, which I think is a huge change. I think the enthusiasm for this victory comes because the big wins against France and Netherlands were great, but those were not the teams that Germany had struggled with. Even at the last World Cup, the result against Spain, that was a game that they should have won, right? So it was really the Japans, the Mexicos, the Scotlands, the Greece, those kind of countries that Germany has always dropped points again and ultimately failed to get out of tournaments. So I think the real positive I see from this game is that they took this game extremely serious and they stamped their mark on it, and they were maybe perhaps aided by a little bit by the fact that the Scottish team just didn't show up.
Yeah, it was a hugely frustrating performance to watch from a Scottish point of view. Scotland just looked like rabbits caught in the headlight, or deer caught in the headlight, whatever you want to say, and just completely capitulated to Germany. Obviously, the nature of the opening goal maybe kind of it's the worst thing you want to see happen. And then, you know, at that point, Germany just had the wind in their sails. We actually discussed this after the game the next day that, you know, for all good, the Florian Wirtz's shot was good. You know, it was a very clean hit. He hit it very fast. So he got more or less everything he could have done spot on there. He had plenty of time as well, so it's completely unmarked. But the fact that Gunn got a hand to it really makes you think that he probably should have saved it. And from there on in, it just felt like everything just kind of worked for Germany, which it's in a way that Scotland played so bad that it actually was maybe quite frustrating for German national team fans, because, I mean, it's just a silly thing to think after such an emphatic win, but Scotland were so bad that it's actually really hard to, like, you know, break it down analytically and really see what worked for Germany. And that's kind of the impression. I was actually going back and looking at all the kind of coverage in the UK, and that was kind of largely most of the kind of pundits on British television were saying that Scotland were so bad, it's actually quite hard to see how good this Germany team are just yet. But having said that, I still think there were huge kind of positives for Germany, obviously. But even just the way they played, I thought tactically, Nagelsmann kind of got things completely spot on, which is kind of what we'd hope for going into this tournament, in the sense that, you know, that that still feels to me like Germany's kind of real kind of hidden weapon in this tournament. They've got a head coach who, you know, can really kind of tactically get the better of opponents in a way that a lot of kind of international managers just don't or can't. And that's just the nature of international football. Obviously, it's not really as kind of high tier as domestic football. But in Nagelsmann, Germany have a head coach who can do that. And you could see that from the very start and the way that he had those kind of forward players really kind of move out wide and then quickly come inside to try and really take advantage of the space in that Scotland team. And just throughout the entire game, Scotland just looked completely, bewildered, absolutely bewildered. So it was a difficult game to watch as a Scot. But, you know, as someone who obviously does support Germany in these tournaments, I kind of came away from it thinking, well, this is exactly what Germany brought Nagelsmann in to the national team to do, you know. And it felt to me tactically like a million miles away from what the team have looked like under Hansi Flick. And then before that, Yogi Löw beforehand, where it was very static, it was very simplistic. It was just a case of kind of relying on big players doing big things. But in this case, you could see a really well-drilled team. And as a result, the players were kind of all kind of benefiting from it.
Yeah. I wrote a piece on Jamal Musiala for Transfermarkt last night and did some research looking back, right? And I actually watched large parts of the Japan game. And you know what struck me was that the first half of that game was pretty much the same as the one against Scotland. I'm now watching it back. It's the first time I've watched it back since the tournament. You know, I want to have very little to do with that World Cup, obviously. And it struck me that really it should have been 3 or 4 nil after the first half of Germany in that game too. And watching this first half against Scotland, and there is that moment, right, where Jamal Musiala triples into the box in the Japan game. Beautiful moment. He goes through 4 or 5 guys, and then he has the shot, and the shot goes over the bar. It would have been Germany's second goal. It would have probably been enough to at least get a point, probably win the game. And the history would have been completely different. This time around, Ilkay Gundogan works the ball into the box. It goes to Kai Havertz. Musiala then picks up the ball, goes to 3-4 guys, places the shot. It goes in. It's 2-0. Game over, right? And that's just, I think, you know, as much as the Scotland team capitulated early on, I think it was also Germany just putting the nails in the coffin as quickly as possible. They had a couple more chances after that, and then the penalty put it away to make it 3-0. And then in the second half, you know, they could have had another 3 or 4 goals. I think the biggest difference really was that they never, as poor as Scotland was, Germany didn't give them a chance to get back into this game like they have done in the past with opponents. And I think that is actually, when you want to find something to analyze, that is actually something that I took away from this game really early on. Germany were up 1-0, but they didn't get complacent. They were like, okay, we need to finish this. We need to finish this as quickly as possible so we can just move on. We can rest some players. We can face Hungary on Wednesday. That kind of thing. And I think that played a big role here. And so they never gave Scotland any room to breathe or really to kind of create any moments where they could be dangerous, right? And so I think that is something that I take away as a huge positive. The other really big positive I took away from this game is we have been discussing this for weeks now, right? It's like, what's Ilkay Gundogan's fit? And he creates that second goal. He was so much better in transition. He looked way fitter. I think he was a little bit overplayed. I actually saw that he played a lot more minutes than Toni Kroos did, right? And you could see that maybe towards the tail end of the season where, you know, he was just maybe a little bit overworked. The last few weeks off, I think, have done him a world of good. He looked faster. He looked quick. You know, where Toni Kroos is a bit more static but still moves around the pitch to distribute, Gundogan is almost a transition player who can still offer you that really good ball distribution. And it's just a really good link up between Kroos and the three guys up front, right? And that was the first time where I could see it. Okay, I'm like, I saw that second goal and I'm like, that's why Gundogan is in this lineup, right? Because he, when fit, he does offer you this spark of creativity. He's almost like the counter Kroos. He's the guy a little bit further up that gives you those moments and the ball distribution that you need to glue together Wirtz, Musiala and Havertz. And I think that is a huge other positive that I saw in the match. And, you know, the defense I actually also really enjoyed because they never gave Scotland any opportunity to counter.
Yeah, I mean, I think Gundogan was such a fascinating kind of example of, you know, is this good Germany or bad Scotland? You know, and assess, and I think we'll have to wait and see how they do against probably the Swiss, because they look like the most competent opponents in this tournament, this group, considering
although Hungary now has to win, right? Like, I mean, that's difficult too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I guess it comes down to, you know, how good both teams play against Germany or in the last stage of the competition. But I think Gundogan's, if I had to kind of sum up his role in this team, I would say he's basically kind of taken the role that Thomas Müller used to play, where he's that number 10 who has to kind of hide between the lines and kind of facilitate the ball from midfield to attack. And as you said, he looked sharp in the way that he kind of turned. He obviously did that in the for the goal against Greece as well, where he just a little half turn that gets him away from a player and he can pass the ball on. I think it was Leroy Sané he passed it on to against Greece, but as you said, he did it against Scotland as well. And it's these little kind of bits of technique, it's bits of kind of exploiting space that, you know, are often overlooked. They don't kind of show up on the match report as an assist or a key pass. It's just like the pass before that, and you know, he's not kind of running by players like he maybe used to do, or he's not firing shots into the top corner like he used to, but he is kind of playing that role where he drifts. And it also allows Germany to take advantage of space if teams do try to kind of really put the pressure on Toni Kroos as the kind of playmaker. You know, if teams do line up and think, well, you know, Toni Kroos is such an exceptional player, he's the guy we have to stop making the passes to get the better of this team, then that naturally kind of open up the space for Gundogan to kind of play that number 10 position, have a bit more space, and then players can play off him really well. Yeah, I was really impressed with him against Scotland, and I completely agree with you. I think he was doing everything that I kind of struggled to see him do in the lead-up to his tournament. So, you know, if he is showing fitness, then that'd be fantastic. And equally, I was quite disappointed from a Scotland point of view, but obviously now with my German hat on, if you will, the kind of fitness and sharpness that Musiala and Virts showed, I feel is maybe the single most important thing to take away from this game, because both of them have had their injury concerns this season. Both of them have had injury concerns in the second half of the season. You know, Florian Virts quite notably in the Europa League final. In fact, when I had my kind of Scottish mates asking me, you know, if we stood a chance against Germany, I said, well, it will come down to really how fit these players are, because Musiala's been struggling with injuries all season. And even before that, there's some serious concerns over his overall jadedness because of how much Bayern have kind of overplayed him in the last two or three seasons. But of course, Florian Virts was really struggling for fitness at the end of the season. He did not look like himself in that Europa League final when he was really struggling with a dead leg injury. And then, of course, we've talked about Gundogan in the lead up to this competition has also been a player who doesn't look quite well. I just thought maybe age was catched up with him, but maybe it's a case of fitness, who knows. But that was the thing that really stood out to me. Musiala looked like the old Musiala, if such a thing could be said about a player who's still so young. And Florian Virts looked more than content with being the guy that we've seen all season. And if both of them can stay fit and look this sharp in this competition, then it completely changes, you know, the potential of this German national team, because you've got two players there who can run by anyone, they can get past a defender, they can score goals from all over the pitch, and this entire team more or less hangs off both of them playing in those kind of half spaces on either wing, cutting inside and, you know, creating magic. Because, you know, we could talk about, I mean, those first two goals are probably a good example of that. Florian Virts, yes, we can talk about whether Gunn should have saved that shot, but there's only a certain amount of players in the world that can kind of take that shot at that speed and more or less put it in the far corner outside the box. Same with Musiala. There's only so many players around the world that can skip by two or three players. And then what's so impressive, I think, about that second goal is the way that when you see the kind of replay from behind him, he's got two or three Scotland players diving towards him. They've got the goalkeeper behind him, and he manages to hit the shot into the roof of the net, which is just such an not impossible thing to do, but such a hard thing to do technically. And so, you know, Germany go 2 ahead, but they do so because these players are so outstanding at scoring those goals. I mean, I don't know what the XG for both goals was. I guess Musiala one wouldn't be too bad because it's in the box, but I think those two goals just really sum up how impressive they are as individual players, which we already knew, but I think it also sums up how much the system relies on both those players. And for them to look so fit and so sharp is such a huge bonus for Germany already.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug, but I ended up connecting to the world around me, a world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.